All right, thank you for that introduction, Jeff. So, yeah, I'm going to be talking about my portion of this nutrient cycling project. This has been in conjunction with Kenneth. We actually worked together on the same, on the ranch together. And so me and Jeff are kind of the entomologists on this project. So we'll get into kind of the insect aspects of all of this, or more in-depth than the dung beetles. So I'd like to start out with kind of showing you an outline for my talk. So we'll start with kind of an introduction to dung beetles, you know, what they are, what they do, kind of a overview. Then I'd like to talk about or go in depth on the grazing practices that are used on rangeland. So this is kind of going to be a more in-depth review of a part of Anna's talk, if you were here for that earlier. So then I'm going to talk a little bit about the background for my study and the objectives. We'll get into the materials and methods. I'll discuss some of my initial results, and then we'll end with some conclusions and significance for my research. So starting out with that intro to dung beetles, well, dung beetles are scarabs. These are insects that feed on animal dung. They actually use olfactory cues to seek out that manure, and it's part integral part of their life cycle. They use it for reproduction. So these dung beetles can provide ecosystem services because of that interaction with the dung. By feeding on it and using it, they can break that down. So I'm going to go kind of more into those ecosystem services. So talking about the kind of the benefits from dung beetles. Well, like I said, they are important for dung decomposition by breaking that down, and in doing so, they can promote nutrient cycling. So they're taking that manure and they're putting it into the soil, thus bringing those nutrients into the soil. Now to kind of visualize this a little better, I'd like to show this diagram here. So we have a dung beetle. It has its ball of dung, and it's burying that down underneath the ground into the soil. So by burying that into the soil, it's releasing nutrients, including nitrogen, magnesium, phosphorus, and potassium, along with the sequestration of carbon. And by taking that manure off the soil surface, it's actually mitigating some greenhouse gas emissions. So along with promoting that nutrient cycling, by breaking down that manure on the surface, they can actually act as a natural control for dung breeding pests, mainly flies, because it's eliminating that food source or that source for their reproduction cycle. So overall, from dung beetles, is estimated by Loesli and Vaughan in 2006 that the economic value is about $380 million each year in the United States, just from these dung beetles. So now that I've kind of talked about dung beetles, to start out, well, I'd like to get into some of these grazing practices. So these are some of the treatments for this study, but to just kind of give you an idea of what's actually going on between these different practices. So there's hay or not grazing, there's continuous grazing, there's low stocking rotational, and this is actually like, if you're here for Anita's talk, the four pasture rotational, it's not as many cattle, but these are still rotated through paddocks in the pasture. And then there's the ultra-high stocking rotational, and this is termed as mob grazing. So I'm going to go into each one of these individually. So starting out with paying or not grazing, this is pretty self-explanatory. Obviously, there's no cattle, and instead this pasture can be, you know, baled for hay purposes once or more per season, depending on the rainfall. The next is the continuous grazing. Now this is just one, the pasture is not split up at all, it's just one large paddock. And there's just a few cattle. The stocking density is about, you know, less than one animal unit per hectare. And then these cattle are left to graze in that pasture throughout the whole, the entire season without being moved. So next is that low stocking rotational. So now that pasture is split up into several medium-sized paddocks. There's more cattle than what we see in the continuous, or at least the stocking density is higher. This is about around 20 animal units per hectare. And now these cattle are moved, you know, every 2 to 3 weeks. This depends on however many rotations for that season. So for the purposes of this study, we actually had two different types of low stocking rotational. There was once over and twice over. So the once over was the cattle were moved through all those paddocks one time over the course of the season, and then the twice over, obviously, they were moved through those paddocks in two rotations. So next is the mob grazing. So now that pasture is split up into a lot of these little small paddocks. So there's a much higher density of cattle in these paddocks, around 500 animal units per hectare. And then these cattle are moved once or more per day. This is a very intensified grazing practice. The cattle have to be moved each day, or else this could really affect the foliage quality, that foliage is getting grazed rapidly, and they'll run out of food. So now that we kind of looked at the grazing practices, I want to talk about, well, how are the dung beetles actually affected by these practices? So kind of for a background here, from previous literature, this was a study by Whipple in 2011. Preliminary data from that study, he did pitfall sampling out in western Nebraska, and he had samples traps in rotational and continuous grazed pastures. And he found that the rotational grazing actually yielded twice the number of dung beetle species and around six times the total number of beetles. So you can already see that there's kind of a difference between that continuous and the rotational grazing. So like I've mentioned before, the dung beetles, they're an important part of this of the rangeland ecosystem. But, you know, the actual influence that these grazing practices have on the dung beetles is still, we don't really know a lot. So that's what kind of sets up for my project. So the objectives for this study were to survey that community, see what dung beetles are actually out there across all these different grazing practices. And then secondly, to determine if those grazing practices actually had an effect on dung beetle activity on those communities. So this is the study location for this project. It was actually out in the Nebraska Sandhills. This is in central Nebraska. We were actually up in north central, to be more precise. And these yellow stars actually indicate the ranch locations. We had three different locations in total. So for these locations, the first one was the Barta Brothers Ranch. This is a university-owned ranch. The picture on the right is actually an aerial view of that meadow that was used for this study. And then, so we were actually, Kenneth and myself were stationed out at this ranch for the summer, or for both summers of this research. And then there were two collaborating ranches. This was the Randall Shin Ranch, and this was only utilized in 2014. We were not able to use his ground in the second year of this study. And then the Rick Marshall Ranch, which we used for both years. So on to the materials and methods. So I used pitfall traps for this study. In 2014, we had traps set up at the meadow at the Barter Ranch and meadow at the Shin Ranch, and then at the Marshall Ranch, there were traps set up in the meadow as well as the upland site. So the upland is kind of it's a drier, sandier ecosystem, whereas that meadow is kind of a lowland, sub-irrigated meadow. And then in 2015, we just had traps at the Barta Meadow and then at the Marshall Ranch again in the meadow and the upland. So I'd like to talk about kind of the design of these traps. So we used design similar to Radcliffe in 2013. We took basically a golf hole digger, dug a hole in the ground about a foot deep, and then the contents of this trap were placed inside and then with steel cover plates on top. These traps were actually baited using chimp manure as a attractant for those dung beetles. Now you might ask, why would we use chimpanzee manure? Well, there was a study by Whipple and Hoback in 2012 that they analyzed the different animal dung to see what was most attractive to dung beetles, and it showed that primate manure was the most attractive. So to kind of get a better idea of the design of these traps, I've got to show you in a diagram here. So here's our hole in the ground. We had a plastic sleeve that went down, and then that kind of held the soil from caving in the hole. In here we had a 500 milliliter Nalgene jar. This was filled partially with 50% ethylene glycol water solution for a killing agent. On top of that was the bait vial with the chimp manure. And then we had a plastic cup that was modified into a funnel. And then we had our steel cover plates with anchor bolts and then spacers in between. Now that bottom plate has a hole in the middle so that the beetles can basically walk across that bottom plate and then fall into the pitfall trap. So now talking about the kind of the layout for the project, this is a randomized transect design. So they were transects randomly distributed in these different grazing treatments. So the treatments were continuous grazing, the mob rotational grazing, low stocking, and this was separated into once over and then twice over at the Barter Ranch, and then no grazing and haying. Now, all of these treatments were implemented at the Barter Ranch. At the collaborating ranches, we only used the rotational grazing, so mob and then a low stocking grazing. So for the trapping, these traps were collected at the end of 14-day periods, and they were baited for 7 days within those periods. This was in case there was a rain event or for whatever reason that these needed to be covered up and then reopened. It just kind of allowed some flexibility for the turnover rate for collecting these traps. So now I'd like to kind of get into some of the results here. So for the collection summary, we got all kinds of different beetles. You can kind of see that they come in different shapes and sizes. So there are actually 22 confirmed dung beetle species. And out of those 22 species, there were several new Nebraska County records. Then I'd like to kind of show some of the initial results from this study. So this graph here shows the Simpson's Diversity Index values for these different grazing treatments. So this was actually at the Barta Meadow in 2014. So on the y-axis is that Simpson's Diversity Index, and it uses abundance as well as the number of species in an equation to provide a value, a numerical value that we can use to compare these treatments. So what I want to draw attention to here is these three in the middle are the actual rotational grazing treatments. So this is that mob grazing and then the once over and twice over. And you can see that in 2014 there was a significant difference between these rotational grazing practices and the continuous and the no grazing or hang. And you can see that the continuous grazing was actually no different than actually not grazing at all. So then we saw the exact same story actually in 2015. It's nice that the data was actually, it was the same as what, or similar to what we got in 2014. We had some consistency there. That's always nice. And again, you can see that rotational grazing is significantly higher than the continuous and the no grazing at all. So I'd like to show some of the results from the collaborating ranches. So again, this is the Simpsons diversity. For the Shin Meadow, this is in 2014. So we only had the mob rotational and then the low stocking. This was basically a once-over treatment. And at the Shin Meadow and at the Marshall Meadow, there's not really a huge difference between those diversity values. And then comparing that to what we saw at the Barter Ranch in 2014, they're pretty consistent. It's not a huge difference there. Now, at the Marshall Upland, this is actually a quite a bit higher index value. And we think that that's just kind of more of a representation of that community as a whole. In the Upland, we only did mob grazing. There were no other treatments. That rancher only used, he only mob grazed that Upland site. So then in 2015, it's kind of the same story. Now it's actually for the Marshall Meadow, it was a little bit higher than what we saw at Barta, but again, there's not a big difference between these rotational treatments. And then you can see in the Marshall Upland, again, that was a little bit higher than what we saw in the meadow sites. So for conclusions for this study, well, the rotational grazing, obviously at either that low stocking rotational or that mob grazing, that ultra-high stocking, that those densities may actually favor those dung beetle, that dung beetle colonization. So then if you have more dung beetles, then it's going to actually improve that rangeland ecosystem. And in doing so, you can, with more dung beetles, you can increase that dung decomposition and soil fertility. This could enrich pasture and forage quality, and then with better forage quality, you can have better cattle production overall. So now for some significance, well, this research helps to fill that an important knowledge gap that it kind of provides valuable insight into, you know, how those grazing practices actually impact those dung beetle communities. And then understanding those impacts is important for being able to provide, you know, an optimal way of managing these rangelands in order to, you know, benefit the dung beetle community. So with that, I'd like to thank everyone involved in this nutrient cycling project. I mean, Anna's included all of the names. I could have listed everyone's name, but it was easier just to do this. And then I'd like to thank my advisory committee, Dr. Bradshaw, Dr. Weisling, and Dr. Martha Mamo. And I'd like to thank Dr. Matt Paulson from the Nebraska Museum of Natural History. And he actually helped me identify some of these more difficult dung beetle species, because some of these are quite small. So I'd like to thank him, and then obviously our funding, USDA and NEPA. So, thank you, and I take questions.